Com. Bailouts and pullouts, part of what we're going to be talking about this hour of America tonight. Kate Delaney, as always, happy to be the skipper of this little old ship, and we're going to sail in some interesting waters, left, right, and somewhere in between. I don't care what you call yourself. It's not about the label. It's about the opinion. And the great news is America Tonight is different than a lot of shows because you, my friends, have some very valid points of view. And feel free to share them. Here's a big one. The president, if I told you that this was going to happen a couple of weeks ago, would you believe me? Because I think we've been down this road before. The president is going to announce Afghanistan withdrawal plans. I'll say it again. The president is going to announce Afghanistan withdrawal plans. Yes, it's true. There's an actual blueprint or some sort of map as to what the finer points are on this. So now it's been over a decade. And frankly, the commanders in the field don't want to see a huge withdrawal. The number I'm getting is about 35% of the troops that we now have in Afghanistan. Remember, they're splayed out all over the place, for lack of a better way to describe it. You have those that are deep into some dangerous territory, meaning where you've got people coming in from Pakistan, crossing the border and doing damage and then hightailing it out of Afghanistan and finding their safe haven. And some of those mountainous regions that we talk about. Then you've got Kabul, which often can be the center of some kind of violence, some kind of Islamic terrorist who decides this is his moment for jihad. That will creep up every month or so. And we have lots of troops in Kabul. And, of course, we have bases set up. So this is the final phase. How many troops are going to be withdrawn from Afghanistan? What do you think the right number is? Because remember, 30,000-plus surge troops were there in the last 2 years as part of what they called at the time, remember, counterinsurgency strategy. They said this would succeed in clearing out that Taliban fighting group from some of those key areas in southern Afghanistan. So what will the pace of the withdrawals be? You got a total of, give or take, this is pretty much the number, 100,000 troops. 100,000 are there. This has been a thorny issue all along, especially the last couple of years. And remember, this president, who wants to get reelected again, was the one who said on the campaign trail, I'm going to bring your sons and daughters back. We're going to get out of Iraq, actually. And then in investing in Afghanistan, also there was going to be a pullout in Afghanistan. But then the way to do that was to have this surge so you could eradicate the bad guys. Did we eradicate the bad guys? If you believe the intelligence, certainly, well, Osama bin Laden, I think, is ultimately part of that. Yes, it was Pakistan, Abbottabad, and, of course, information in the CIA staking out the house across the street from where bin Laden's compound, so-called compound, was. But I would maybe couple that in there. And then other al-Qaeda members that were taken out, and Taliban as well. And, of course, there have been some black eyes because of civilian casualties that are part of, sadly, what we would term collateral damage, and there were nightmares associated with that. You have Hamid Karzai, the president of Afghanistan, who has taken some big swipes at the U.S. in the last couple of months. Remember, there were a couple of moments where especially when some civilians were killed, where he talked about what was happening in Afghanistan and, you know, get out if this is what's going to happen, pretty much. Well, guess what? We're getting out. But how is this withdrawal going to go? What's interesting is the announcement that came late in the day on Monday that there would be this big news on Wednesday also coincides, or was supposed to coincide, with some great news on the progress of some political reconciliation with Taliban leaders. Because remember, this was also part of what's been happening lately. But those discussions have fallen off. There have actually been a couple of rounds between the U.S. and some Taliban members in Qatar and also in Germany. So there has been a lot of pressure on what the pace of the withdrawal will be. What will the pace be? And how will the country weaken if it's a rapid withdrawal? So I, like you, I'm very curious as to what the number will be and what the specific strokes will be. By the way, just for grins, let's throw this in. How much has been spent in Afghanistan this year? We're halfway through the year. How much has been spent? How about $112 billion? $112 billion. So there has been a push to quickly end the wars in both Afghanistan and Iraq because it's too much money that we're throwing at these causes. You think of the Russians and what happened in the 80s, and they were occupiers as well. What happened there? So you tell me, America, what's that number going to be? Is this the right play? I'll say the digits again. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. In the meantime, closer to home, and we're going to talk about this as well coming up in one of the segments here, what's going on in the courtrooms in America. A couple of big decisions, one from the Supreme Court. Class action suit, a discrimination suit. 5-4 decision didn't go the way of the women who were bringing the suit, who said they were denied the promotions and whatnot in various capacities with Walmart. That was a huge decision. And even bigger, I think, the Casey Anthony trial. Each week we've got Chris O'Donnell, who joins us on Wednesday's show to give us an update of what's happening there, because she's there in the thick of the Casey circus. And this is the young woman, because she's just 25 years old, accused of killing and charged with killing her 2-year-old daughter at the time, Kaylee. And it's been everything that it was billed to be, a circus. The judge says he's had enough. We're going to let you hear what he had to say coming up as well. Hang with us. That and more, 800-259-5791.
Are you a leader or board member of a newer nonprofit? Then you're building your nonprofit while wondering, are we doing this right? Well, stop wondering and start listening. Tune into WebTalkRadio.net and Nonprofit Spark to hear nuts and bolts advice about fundraising, planning, finances, and more. The conversations are geared to newer leaders like you. So boost your nonprofit know-how and confidence. Tune into WebTalkRadio.net and Nonprofit Spark today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Gold, it's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat?
All right, speaking of a kick in the head, perfect Dino song for this one. You might not agree. You might agree. It's kind of a strange deal. Class action can go either way. And, of course, if you're the victim along with a group of other people and class action was created for this, it can be something that's worthwhile because the judgment's bigger, you spread the money out, and if really you were wronged and harmed, then that's a good thing, my friends, if you win it. However, you know, the funny things with legal actions these days, all the jokes about suing and the sue happy country and all that. The Supreme Court said no, no to a massive job discrimination lawsuit against Walmart. They said that the plaintiffs hadn't shown justification for this sweeping class action status that would have involved hundreds of thousands of current and former female workers. I wondered that. Pretty tough to prove on a giant basis. Now, individually, they could do that. So 5-4 was the ruling. And the pretty much in the lawsuit, what they addressed was whether they supported the Supremes, whether they supported such a huge class action. So really, it was a big victory for Walmart because Walmart doesn't have to pay. Walmart, the nation's largest private employer. How many Walmarts are there in your hometown? As this decision was going down, I was thinking about that. I wonder how many Walmarts there are. And they're everywhere. They're like Starbucks. They're everywhere. They take up more space, though. So usually they're not across the street from each other, but they're everywhere. I mean, this was a pretty high-profile deal, and this was definitely watched by a lot of people. And this is really corporation versus the worker and the worker's rights. And probably the biggest one, I can't think of another off the top of my head, that the justices ever dealt with, that was ever thrown before them. And it could affect a lot of businesses, private, big, small, all that kind of stuff. What Antonin Scalia, Justice Scalia, said was just the facts of the case. He said there wasn't, you know, the plaintiffs had to show significant proof that Walmart operated under a general policy of discrimination, and that was absent. I thought this was a pretty tough undertaking. Because think about it, you're saying hundreds of thousands of women. To be sure, I'm certain that some women were screwed over by crappy bosses. Gee, men get screwed over by crappy bosses. But let's just stick with the female, okay, we're calling it sexual harassment thing, or discrimination. It wasn't sexual harassment. We're calling it discrimination. That amount of people, pretty tough. That's pretty tough to go after them that way. And geographically, yeah. As I just said, there's so many of those stores. But there are a lot of people that say they're going to still continue to, if they have to go on their own, they're going to do that. That they're going to try to go after Walmart on their own. So one of the things that Ruth Bader Ginsburg said is that Walmart's delegation of discretion over pay and promotions is a policy that's uniform throughout all the stores. And, you know, that's what basically what the heart and the soul of this whole case was about. And so when you look at that, you've got 1.6 million former and current, if you put them all together, Walmart employees who could then make claims of discrimination, which has happened over the past decade, depending on what the class action would do. You know, the plaintiffs say that the women were paid less and they weren't given the opportunities for promotion more than the men were, so they were looking for back pay, and of course you always throw in the punitive damages against Walmart. But it didn't go in their direction. And it will have rippling effects. I think it's going to be quoted, certainly, in future cases when you have corporations or other companies that come up and a class action. It's going to be tougher for those lawyers to prove it, especially in the grand scale. And I think that this was the problem. If you're talking about class action, it's smaller, still a little bit different than going after a company like Walmart, loaded for bear with their own attorneys, and trying to come up with the goods and prove that you've got something here across the board. Pretty tough to do that, I'd say. There's another courtroom where things are just continuing to play out, and I'm wondering how deep we'll go into July with this case. I mentioned it before that we've been doing updates once a week on America Tonight, and it's Casey Anthony. Very sad, sad story, because here it's the victim you feel for. A little innocent girl, dead, 2 years old. Something went awry. Something happened there. The 25-year-old mother is charged with this crime. It certainly looks that way. You know, we live in a country where you're innocent until proven guilty. And when you look at the circumstances surrounding this, even with the nutty things that have happened, if you clear your mind and just think about it for a second, I mean, honestly, how many people don't think that she did this? But it's all about this jury. And just one juror saying that they don't believe that this young woman did it, even though it seems nutty, even though it seems like it could, you know, all the pieces are in place with the chloroform, with the car disappearing, with she's off partying, with not saying anything for a month, and then saying her father was abusive, and really the girl drowned in the pool, and all this other stuff. So now the judge in the Casey Anthony murder trial canceled Monday's session. He went after the attorneys. And he said he's tired of it. Take a listen to what Judge Blevins said.
All of this, folks, is going to stop, or you will be working some very fierce days.
All right. Fierce days. So he what he's talking about is he was calling it gamesmanship. You know, they're rattling their sabers and going back and forth. And so he said, forget it. Boom, we're out of here. And the judge is a take-no-prisoners kind of guy, Judge Belvin. Belvin Perry is his name. And he was furious with really the defense, but just overall what the attorneys on both sides were doing. And then you had this defense expert who said that the Kaylee autopsy was shoddy. So you can see where they're going. They're trying to just poke holes in what the prosecution is saying happened here. And the problem is you have to be able to tie it all together. And the defense expert said, you know what? Duct tape is not a murder weapon. And therein lies part of the problem for the prosecution. But I can't believe, based on some of the things that I've heard, I can't believe in the end that there is going to be a juror who says, you know, there's reasonable doubt here. Prosecutors claim that Kaylee's mother, Casey Anthony, used chloroform to make her daughter unconscious, then used duct tape to cover her nose and mouth, suffocating her. Of course, they found her remains in a wooded field 6 months after her family last reported seeing her. It was one of the, I think, more grotesque things I ever saw on a CNN or MSNBC or Fox even crawl somewhere when that story broke. But, you know, will they be able to take it to the, you know, they take this all the way through and be able to nail her for this? And remember, this is a death penalty case. And this is a young woman. And certainly women have been electrocuted or been given the needle, but not very many in the history of death penalty cases. But first thing is she would have to be found guilty. And at this point, we don't know. You can tell what the defense is trying to do. They're trying to put doubt out there and throw out that there's no link to these air samples in the car, even though there was scientific evidence of that it smelled like the remains of somebody. And, it, you know, again, thinking it was a little girl who was in the car, and that's why she ditched the car and it was hauled off. But it's a fascinating trial. And to get into the courtroom, I know I've said this on the air, it's line up at midnight and then run for those 50 seats, because every day 50 seats are given out and you have to have a ticket to get into it. And if she were to testify, can you imagine how big it would be? Very doubtful. Very, very doubtful they would put her on the stand, because the prosecutor would just twist up, I think, most of her words. All right, we're not twisted with words yet anyway. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to check the mail.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali C. And the answer is, Ali C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali C. For more information and to order Ali C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali C.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed, while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS. pass.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
What if a natural or man-made disaster forced you to flee your house in a moment's notice? Are you prepared to grab and go? You will be with My Evac Pack, the ultimate survival kit for emergency evacuations, and we mean ultimate. My Evac Pack is an easy-to-carry bag packed with 44 essential food servings and dozens of indispensable get-out-of-town supplies. My Evac Pack comes in two sizes, a backpack or a rolling duffel bag. Both are packed with great-tasting, nutritionally dense, long-shelf-life food, plus all kinds of tools and supplies to help you and your family survive just about any kind of survival situation. See the new video and all you get in My Evac Pack at MyEvacPack.com. Spelled MyEvacPack.com. MyEvacPack.com. Or call 877-327-0365. That's 1-877-327-0365. Get My Evac Pack today, because you can't predict when or where an emergency will strike.
Delight me, and I know you're speaking of me. Fascinating thing, get beside me, I want you to love me.
We like to say it's water cooler buzz here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, and it is. And part of the buzz, besides what's going on in Afghanistan, because there's a big announcement coming on Wednesday. The president has an end game, some new strategy, withdrawal of troops, big announcements. Country is very weary of these wars. It shows up in the polls, and now you have some of the Republicans who are running who are saying we need to be gone. In particular, Ron Paul, the congressman from Texas, has always beaten that drum and took a lot of heat for it. This time around, he's not taking so much heat. He's winning some of these straw polls. So check this out. Kenneth Melson, you know that name? He's the acting director of the Bureau of Tobacco, Alcohol, and Firearms, ATF. He's supposed to step down, they say. And why do you think he's going to step down? Because he can't handle what's now happened with this blow up over the Fast and the Furious, the gun running scheme where the weapons were sold to the Mexican drug cartels. I just cannot imagine that somebody was brainstorming this idea, because it all starts there. Somebody had to come up with a suggestion. And all the people who knew about this said, yeah, absolutely. That sounds like that could work. And remember, if you haven't heard this story, here's the deal. This is it in a nutshell. Fast and Furious, and there was another program called Project Gun Runner. They had about 2,000 weapons. They were sold to what they call straw buyers, who then sold them onto the cartels. And the idea is that the ATF could trace the weapons and discover who was selling them, so they could bust the people selling the guns. but something really went wrong. You know, the weapons have been used in 150 shootings, and the ATF doesn't know where two-thirds of the guns are. Shocker. But the real sad part and the big controversy, and I'm not surprised by this, really happened in December when you had a Border Patrol agent, Brian Terry, who was murdered in Arizona, and two of the weapons discovered at the scene were part of Project Gun Runner. So then when the controversy comes out and the story breaks, the president says, this plan was flawed. This plan was flawed. There may be a situation where a serious mistake was made. We'll find out who did it and we'll hold them accountable. Now, the president has said, look, I didn't know anything about this. I had no idea about this operation. I love, and we have people listening in Iowa, I love that Charles Grassley, the senator from Iowa, said, well, forget all this. Let's just have an independent investigation. Let's get these heads rolling. Somebody needs to pay for this. And then you have the congressman from California who said that it looked like Iran-Contra. And it is. It does smell like there is a rat somewhere on this one. So somebody new is going to come in because Melson is going to resign. He'll be the sacrificial lamb no matter what because he was the head. So it doesn't matter. If you don't know what the underlings are doing, and I can't imagine he didn't, certainly he was apprised of what was happening, then of course he's going to go. But this is what's scary. You know who's might be the guy who takes over? The guy who takes over is a name that you probably have heard before. And that person is a person who is not pro-guns, is anti-gun, in fact. So you have the acting ATF director right in the middle of this gun-buying sting. And then this week you have the story about Andrew Traver, who now could be, the Obama administration is in talks with him, could be the guy who takes over at the ATF. And I'll tell you one group that hates him. Anybody to do with guns does not like his anti-gun stance. So the National Rifle Association, you know, stalled the appointment. Because remember, this guy was nominated back in November by the president to become the director. But they tried to stop this. Now this is getting pushed further and harder to get this to go through faster. We'll keep our eyes on this story. I'm sure those guns are out there somewhere. Let's check the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Yes, indeed we do. And this comes to us from Jake, who listens to us in Austin. Jake, we love reading your emails. Hello, sports princess, a.k.a. Kate Delaney, the mistress of America tonight. He sounds like he's in a good mood. I heard you talking about Afghanistan. Wow, the callers were interesting, especially the one cat from New York who said, why bring them back? Because it'll kill the economy. They're not going to be able to find jobs. It was an interesting take, I think, on Afghanistan, even though I disagree. Do you know what the bottom line is? How much has all of this cost us when we're talking about the economy of the war? Well, the answer is way too much. There isn't really, really hard numbers. If you add the numbers that have been thrown out there in the past, and the number that I got was once you get to September, this September, you're talking about the total cost of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And that means funding through September, $1.26 trillion. So $797.3 billion to Iraq. $459.8 billion to Afghanistan. And this is non-military spending, so like reconstruction and also military. And it includes the one thing that's not included is the soldiers' regular pay. But they have combat pay. So the combat pay is included. Plus medical care, veterans wounded in the wars, that's not included either. So there's things that are missing from that number. And they don't include interest payments on the national debt because of the higher deficits with the war spending. It's that tricky thing, the interest payments. We all know about interest payments with credit cards and how nasty that can be. Well, now think about it when we're talking about figures for war and how much has been spent. Now, during the Bush years, most of the war funding was actually pushed through emergency supplemental stuff. So when you start with the 2010 budget, most of the funding was included in the budget appropriations process. You know, when they go through that and all come up with their budgets and here's the defense budget and all that stuff. And remember, Congress had to, they needed more money. So they had to pass the supplemental stuff in July of last year to fund that troop surge of 30,000 that was announced by the president back in the previous December. So a whole lot of money. How about that? A whole lot of money. All right, let's move on to another one. This one comes to us from Maxie. I have a question. My question is about illegal immigration. Kate, you used to talk about it a lot, and you had a lot of people on. Lately, I've noticed there hasn't been much of a discussion going on. I realize there are other things happening. But what do you think happens when it comes to the election? Will the politicians on both sides of this really dance around the problem of illegal immigration? Well, I think it's going to be tough to dance around it. If it's going to be something that will come up in the debates, but the problem is you have an incumbent president, so that incumbent president could only debate whoever the candidate's going to be. The GOP blend, they'll have to deal with this, I'm sure. But then you look at what's happening with anti-illegal immigration legislation among the states, because now the states are saying, well, forget it, the federal government is not passing anything, doing anything, not doing much to help, so we're just going to have to do it ourselves. Some of the states are helping the people who are illegally in this country with some programs, you know, whatever it might be, where they don't deport necessarily illegal immigrants. I'm not explaining that right, but for example, New York State and Illinois, there is a thing called the Federal Secure Communities Program, and there you're supposed to deport illegal immigrants in jails who are convicted of felonies. So somebody gets convicted of a felony, then it's obvious he's an illegal immigrant, and boom, he's caught in the net and he's booted. But New York said, no, we don't want to be part of that. Illinois said the same thing. They opted out of it. They didn't want to do that. They did not want to throw people out. And part of the reason is they're saying it was too big of a net. They didn't like the idea that nannies were getting caught in this and more innocent type people. But from what I understand, it's people who are convicted of felonies. So, you know, there you go. There are other states that are saying they're sick of it and they're not going to take it, and they're trying to pass tougher laws. I mean, they're running into roadblocks. We saw what happened in Arizona, certainly, with Governor Jan Brewer, who took a lot of heat for letting the law go through, for signing it. That would have been a tougher law on illegal immigration when police were able to stop certain people for things, but that's being challenged, as you know, by the federal government. In the South, I think especially in the southern border areas, not California, I already talked about New York and Illinois, certainly New Jersey, where a lot of illegals are going. They're not tough there. They're opting not to be tough. But in the South, they're cracking down and they're pushing through legal challenges and they're trying to figure out ways where they can go after undocumented immigrants and do kind of what Arizona has done with farmers and businesses. So Arizona and Georgia, they're cracking down on that, probably the biggest in the country. Stay with us.
Go off the grid for worry-free phone calls now. Yes, worry-free, affordably priced, no-hassle mobile, residential, or business phones can be yours at offthegridphones.com. Our plans start at only $14.99 per month for residential and only $39.99 per month for mobile. And our mobile rates include taxes and surcharges. That's cheaper than the top three providers in North America. What makes us off the grid? We never ask for your social security number and never run a credit check or make you sign a contract, something those large phone companies can't offer. Offthegridphones.com offers some of the lowest, most affordably priced plans in the industry. And popular low-priced mobile phones are available too. So make the switch today to offthegridphones.com for mobile, residential, or business phones. Get your off-the-grid phone by calling 800-600-5553. That's 800-600-5553 or go to offthegridphones.com. Affordable, private, all this and more at offthegridphones.com.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher-safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral, and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
I recognize that music. That would be the Jackass theme song. Remember those movies? The movies that really took off. He was one of the stars, Ryan Dunn, just 34 years old. Sadly, he was killed in a horrific auto accident. And I guess my mother told me, is strange of all things, because she was listening to the news in Philadelphia and they were talking about it. He was killed in a crash on a Pennsylvania highway early on Monday. And he was in his Porsche. He was driving a Porsche 911 and he had a passenger with him. And they haven't identified the passenger yet. But I'll tell you, this guy, I saw him in a couple of different things and I just thought he was so funny. 34 years old, and he was famous for his pranks and some of the stunts that he did over the course of that entire franchise. And it's crazy how that took off and how it took off for him. So they're trying to figure out, the police, they're trying to figure out in the investigation as to what happened here. And they said that when they arrived, there was one car that was off the road in the woods and just totally engulfed in fire and flames. And they believe, they're not saying this is for sure the cause, but they believe that speed was probably one of the factors that contributed to the accident. But it's still a preliminary thing. So they're trying to figure, you know, they're looking at the wreck and they're trying to be careful, knowing that he was somebody that people knew, that they get it right. And they said he didn't seem like he was, they didn't think there was alcohol necessarily involved, because he had on Sunday night been at a bar, but they confirmed that really, you know, he wasn't drinking that much. So they don't believe that. But, wow, how sad. Matt, you liked this guy. You liked his character, and you liked how he was, such a prankster. I thought he was funny. I thought he was very funny. I remember seeing something once where he said, "We're just stupid people." Like, somebody's asked him, how did you come up with all this stuff? And he's like, "We're just stupid." I thought he was pretty funny.
Yeah, he was probably one of the more likable people on that series. And, you know, I mean, it's the classic case of, you got a lot of money, you get the fast cars, and it's probably a feeling of invincibility, especially given what his actual job is, and that's doing stunts. So
right.
Probably is pushing it to the limit a little too much.
Yeah, I agree. So he was also on a show just recently, Minute to Win It. You might have seen it. It's like a game show. If you're a game show person, you might have seen it. That was back maybe a week or so ago. And, but funny guy. I mean, I know he's like a guy movie guy, but I thought he was funny. I can remember seeing him in that franchise, and I thought he was pretty clever, actually. So we move on from the death of Ryan Dunn, sticking with Hollywood for a second, and actually, in a bizarre way, talking about cars. You know, this is the summer of sequels, and we do our cheap movie reviews on Thursday into Friday. One of the big movies that's coming out is called Cars 2, and the voices of the characters in Cars 2 are like Owen Wilson, and Joe Mantegna is another one of the guys that's in it. And the first one was received so well. I mean, kids can go to the movie. It's the typical thing with the animated, you know, films, where it's funny if you're in the movie theater and you're watching it with a kid, you know, son, grandson, granddaughter, whatever, and then you're listening to what's being said, there's a running themes. The adult themes and then the kid themes. The kids don't pick up the same things from some of these movies that I think we pick up. So Joe Mantegna and Owen Wilson talked about their first cars, what they first drove, and I thought it was kind of interesting. Take a listen.
I still own it, 1947 Buick, and I bought it in 1967, and just due to circumstances, it stayed with me all these years, same exact car, and it's all restored now, and so I've owned it for over 40 years. I paid $225 for it.
Luke had always wanted a Porsche, and I, you know, never really talked about it. And then just one day I just ended up getting one, and he was so mad that I had gotten his car. And then he got one shortly thereafter, so it looked, you know, pretty obnoxious to, you know, we were living at the same place to have two Porsches parked in front of the house. But, you know, young Hollywood.
I like how he said that, young Hollywood. I'm wondering how many of you remember that first car. Well, how can you forget your first car? The other night, we did a little segment about dream cars, and I got a lot of email on the dream car thing, because most people, even women, have a dream car. But the first car, the first time that you owned the car where you had access, not just occasionally, it was your car. I can remember mine was a Camaro. I got a hand-me-down Camaro, and it was sweet. The color... Now, I don't know if I would like the color. It's kind of a lime green with a hard top. Not a hard top, a soft top, black soft top. But it was cool. I mean, cool looking. I wish I had that Camaro. When Joe Mantegna said that he paid $225 for that car, imagine what that like looks like now. But the Camaro, the color, very lime green, but pretty cool. Pretty sweet to ride around in that. It was an automatic. I drive a stick now, and I know a lot of people prefer automatics, like them better, but I like to drive sticks, and Even when I've lived in cities, I've always had one since then, but that car was an automatic. Matt, well, you talked about dream cars the last time, but what was the first car you drove?
First car I drove
was... You still have.
No, I don't. It was the Pontiac 6000.
Ooh.
91 Pontiac 6000, which I had for about a year before I totaled it. Between two of my friends' cars, actually, I was the middle car, and I got sandwiched between the both of them. One was like a 72 Datsun pickup and another Toyota Camry that sandwiched my car. So that was the end of that vehicle. And then I moved on to I got a Camry, I think it was that same year, and I drove that for about 12 years until
I got the Pontiac. Did you have to call your parents and tell them that, what happened?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a bad
call. They owned the car at the time. So that was fun.
Oh.
Yeah, and all three of us, we were in high school. I think we were probably sophomores maybe in high school. So there were the three of us sitting there on the side of the road and the three groups of our parents all sitting around talking to each other. And then the cops had to come. And all because the guy in front of my friend slammed on his brakes because there was like a little turtle in the road or something.
Oh, man. Yeah, the animal thing, that can be deadly. It's lucky that it wasn't worse in your situation. Of course, I would not want to be the person making that call to say, guess what? And I wonder this now, you think about it, and especially with the way people drive and how crowded so many of the roadways are, it's different than if you go back even 15 years ago, 20 years ago, and so on. Versus now what you have on the road, the distractions, the texting, constantly everybody on the cell phone. It has to be scary for people who have their teenagers are taking their cars out. Because, one, they're worried about their kid. But it has to be scary in that other sense of maybe they're going to have some kind of a crazy fender bender like Matt and get squeezed in between their buddy's cars. That happened to a friend of mine where she had a door open and all of us were... It was her family's car, and we were driving around in it, and she went to park, and the door was open, and the door almost came off, but it was ruined. And you know what a door costs? You know what it costs to repair that? In other words, put a whole new panel on, do the whole thing. It was pretty pricey. She didn't want to make that phone call, to be sure. All right, we're going to leave with what I call a little daily salute. I love, love, love that... What they're doing in Texas is interesting. They're reconsidering a bill that would criminalize enhanced pat-downs by the TSA at the state's airports. So it's on the agenda for the current special session, and there is intense pressure from conservatives and Tea Party groups to make this happen because of some of the things that have come out where... little kids have felt like they were groped and things have happened even to babies and that kind of stuff. If the bill were to go through, it would be a Class A misdemeanor. The punishment, a year in prison, a $4,000 fine. I have a feeling this will be still a standoff between the feds and the state of Texas. Oh, well, stay tuned.
Well, that's an awful lot of money for the stupidest idea I've ever heard.